Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
All right, Ken. Hello to everybody, all our listeners out there in Radio Land.
Amen. We want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you so much for being with us today. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. A couple of brief announcements. First off, some of you may have heard that my co-host here, Father Douglas McKay, has been named the rector of St. Joseph's in the Hills Retreat House, a.k.a. Malvern Retreat House. So congratulations, Father. He is not leaving Our House Ministries. The way, if you happen to see the announcements that went out about all the priests over the weekend, it had mentioned that Father was going from chaplain of Our House Ministries to rector at the retreat house. He'll actually have shared responsibility. There's no way he would ever give up his role there at Our House Ministries. So, so he's going to need your prayers. He's going to take on a second, almost full-time job. But we've talked a lot about it, and I think it's a great opportunity for the retreat house, for Father, for all those, especially in the southeastern Pennsylvania, South Jersey, Delaware area that make retreats out at Malvern. And if you haven't made a retreat at Malvern yet, now's the time. The world keeps getting crazier and crazier. Now more than ever, I think everybody could use 40 hours away from the television and social media, cell phones, and all that other junk that does nothing but generate anxiety and fear and what have you, and come back and get rooted in the faith and find out, relearn if you need to, what's really important in this world. And a perfect opportunity will be that to do that will be the third weekend in August. It'll be my 31st retreat, I think, with the Friel group. We go out the third Friday of every August. So this year that'll be August 18th to the 20th. Father McKay will actually be our retreat director for the weekend, in addition to being the rector. And you know, it's a men's weekend and a traditional men's weekend. We have quite a few guys that are in recovery, but it's not the focus of the weekend. We have 12-step meetings later at night, but the focus of the weekend is traditional Catholic teaching, preaching, spiritual exercises, and what have you. If you're interested in making the weekend, you can go to malvernretreat.com, and where it has the register link, scroll down to August 18th and look for the Friel Retreat, and go ahead and register. If you have any questions about that weekend, you can always get in touch with me through email at ken@inhissign.com. That's ken@inhissign.com. Or get my cell phone number, which if you call the number here, Maureen can give it to you, and you can get in touch with me that way. But we'd love to have you out on that particular weekend. The other announcement is our Matt Talbot Shrine is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. Again, open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 to roughly 5 o'clock. Thursday afternoons, we pray the rosary as a group at 4 o'clock. So come on down and check out the shrine and hang around and pray a rosary with us. So anything else, Father, before we pray?
Yeah, thanks for the announcement, Ken, and just to ask everybody for prayers. You know, I was just thinking, I made my first retreat at Malvern in 1971, discerning my vocation. And it was that 20-minute period, Ken, in the adoration in the oratory. And I just felt that peace. It, like, the 20 minutes went like 20 seconds. And it was just like an affirmation. You know? And it was 1986, I gave my first preach retreat at Mount Vernon when I was teaching at Bishop Shanahan. And then before Father Dennis O'Donnell was became rector, and that was years ago, and he was, I think, a rector for like 16 years, they had asked me if I would want to be the rector. And I said, well, is there administration? And I was worried about my allergies and all. And they said, well, yeah, there is administration. And I just didn't feel ready at that time. And I said, no. And then lo and behold, you know, I was asked again. And when I was asked again, I said, no. And it seemed like I went into darkness, you know, into a dark night of the soul, like the Lord really wanted me at Mount Vernon. And then I had called Michael Norton, the president of Mount Vernon, and I said, have you found a rector yet? And he said, no, we've been praying for a certain priest that he would follow the direction of the Holy Spirit, and I'd never known him to be subtle. But it was just that sign, and so many signs there. And I always called it my retreat house. You know, but I had no idea that first retreat, you know, so many years ago in 71 that I would become the rector on June the 19th of this year. So I'm excited and looking forward to it. I really believe deeply in my heart that it's God calling me there. And I really know it's going to complement our house ministries and Mount Vernon as well. And I'll be working with a lot of great people. And I just, you know, it's like deep sea fishing there, Ken, too. You know, here in Grace Ferry, the Lord's priesthood here in his priesthood through me touches hundreds throughout the year, but at Mount Vernon it'll be thousands. So I really called by God, feel called by God to accept this, and I am excited. And the Lord never ceases to surprise me, so I expect a lot of surprises and just working with a lot of people and just meeting so many people and hungry people and thirsty people to know the truth and to know Jesus Christ more deeply in their hearts. So. Yeah, all the people listening out there, keep me in your prayers that I will become, you know, the director, the director as the one that God wants me to be.
Amen. Yeah, and I'll just add one of the most important things you mentioned there was, you know, when you made that first retreat and then the quiet of the oratory was when you felt that calm, and that's what we need today. And Mount Vernon provides the almost the perfect place for that. Most of the weekends are not silent weekends, but they're usually pretty quiet. And there are so many distractions in life these days between family, work, the phones, the computers, the television, the radio, what have you. And it's funny when you talk to people that have been to Mount Vernon, it's as soon as you pull into that driveway, it's like you automatically reach over and turn the radio off, and the quiet. You just long for that quiet, and it's only in that quiet that we can hear God's voice, and even if you don't hear it audibly, to hear that message on your heart or your soul as to, you know, what it is that God may need you to do or changes that you need to make in your life. So I encourage everybody to make a retreat at least once a year, and. You know, for the wives out there, you know, let your husband go for the weekend. He'll come back a better husband, a better father, better grandfather. He'll be a better son, a better uncle, a better coworker. You know, it's sometimes we have to make these little sacrifices. And there's women's weekends out there as well. So, you know, give yourself both a gift and make that that retreat out at Mount Vernon and get plugged in and really refreshed and renewed in the faith. All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of a devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximine Colby.
Pray for us.
our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
And Ken, before just ending, we most of us know about little Luke Brendan Tuhall, who passed away there on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to pray a golden Hail Mary. But prior to that, I'd just like to say, you know, here at Our House Ministries, we really prayed for him, offered so many masses for him. You know, I was just thinking, you know, my brother Harry, for Annie Rafferty, Mary Walter, so many of them, we prayed so hard that they may be the Matt Talbot miracle that we're looking for, that we can have Matt Talbot beatified. And that was my hope for Luke Brendan. And I actually confirmed Luke as Brendan, because he liked St. Brendan because he was a fisherman, the Irish saint, a fisherman. But anyway, I just thought all those prayers, maybe the Lord wants Matt Talbot to be blessed because of all the moral miracles. How so many of them stop drugging and drinking, go back to confession, back to the sacraments, even become daily communicants like our technician there. But, you know, there's so many blessings that we don't see. Although we don't get everything we want, God's going to do his will, what's best for everybody. And I trust in the Lord for Luke Brendan. And I really believe now he's in heaven. And he's a patron of Our House Ministries now. And all those prayers we prayed for him, he's praying back. You know, his mom and dad, you know, that prayer on the end of Matt Talbot's prayer was that because Luke had liver problems because of all the drugs that went through his system, that he would be related to, you know, the alcoholics and drug addicts who have liver problems. So he'd be a fisher of men, fishing for all those who suffer with addictions. But I had written this up, Ken. I just like to say this little saying about him. And the last time I saw Luke, I was with his mom and dad, and it was just maybe a week before he died. And they had stripped him down. And all I could see, like Jesus Christ stripped on the cross, and they were working on him. And you couldn't even see his nakedness. You know, like our Lord, you probably couldn't see his nakedness with all the lacerations. But, you know, I mean, he had tubes in him, bandages on him. And all I could see was Christ crucified. And this little Luke Brendan, he was really a victim soul. And only a few are called to that deep union with Jesus in that Paschal mystery of his. But I had written this, and I just like to end by reciting this. And it's a paraphrase of Matthew 4, chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. As Jesus was walking by the sea, he saw little Luke Brendan Tuhill, casting his fishing line into the sea. Brendan wanted to be a fisherman, so Jesus said to him, "Come after me, and I will make you a fisher of men." And Luke Brendan left his fishing line, the boat, his family, friends, and relatives, and immediately followed Jesus to be a fisher of men, especially to catch the scattered fish who suffer with liver diseases from alcohol and drug abuse. And so here's a Hail Mary for Luke Brendan, and that he may be with God in that place in heaven that Jesus won for him, and also for his family members, especially his mom and dad. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Eternal rest grant to Luke Brendan, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. May he and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen. Amen.
Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right, we are in the seventh week of Easter, quickly approaching Pentecost Sunday this coming weekend, Memorial Day weekend. And the saints in the calendar this week, on Sunday the 21st, St. Christopher Magianus, priest and martyr, as well as his companions, which were all martyrs. On Monday, our friends at St. Rita's on Broad Street celebrated the feast of St. Rita of Cassia, wrapping up their 9-day novena, and flooded South Broad Street with roses on Monday. Wednesday the 24th, Our Lady Help of Christians today. On Thursday the 25th, St. Bede the Venerable, priest and doctor, St. Gregory the 7th, who was a pope, and St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, a virgin. Friday the 26th, we'll celebrate St. Philip Neri. On Saturday the 27th, St. Augustine of Canterbury, Bishop, and as mentioned, on Sunday, this Sunday the 28th, the great celebration of the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. So we got a full slate of saints that we can talk about this week, and we're actually going to start with one from we mentioned last week but never got to, and that would be Saint Bernardine of Siena. Eventually will become a Franciscan priest, but before that, there was a whole lot going on in Italy at the time. He was born September 8th in the year 1380, would die on May the 20th in the year 1444. When he was about 20 years old, the plague was rampant in Italy, and in particular in his hometown of Siena. They would have as many as 20 people dying a day at the hospital. And so initially, Bernardine would over and help at the hospital and eventually ran it. They would nurse patients, and he did that for about 4 months. Somehow or other, he managed to escape the plague, but because of all the work he had done, was exhausted, and he came down with a fever that would limit his ability to do anything for several months. After that, he would spend a year caring for an aunt whose parents had died when he was a child. And at last, when she died, he would begin to fast and pray to know God's will for him. It was at the age of 22 when he would enter the Franciscans and was ordained a priest 2 years later. Imagine that, Father, only 2 years in a seminary or whatever training he got at the time. And then for almost a dozen years, he lived in solitude and prayer. And ultimately, they found out that his gift was to preach. He would travel on foot, speak for hours in one place, and then walk to another place where he would speak in another town. He was also known for his great devotion to the holy name of Jesus. And he was the one, if you've gone into churches and you've seen the symbol there, it's like a sunburst with IHS in the middle of it, IHS being the first three letters of Jesus' name. And that's where it came from Bernardine. He used it to replace some of the pagan symbols that were around at that time. Eventually, he would become the general of the Friars of the Strict Observance, which was a branch of the Franciscan order. He emphasized scholarship and study of theology as well as canon law. And interestingly enough, when he got started with the Franciscans, there were 300 friars in the community, and when he died, there were 4,000. He would, after serving as general, he would go back to preaching for the last 2 years of his life before he died, doing what he did best, traveling from one place to another in order to preach. St. Bernardine of Siena, whose feast we celebrated last Saturday. Father?
Pray for us, yeah. Ken, as you said, he's best known for the devotion to the holy name of Jesus. He preached against these gamblers making decks of cards, and they were complaining to him. And he said, why not make holy cards with the holy name on it? And they did, and they made more money with the holy name cards than they did with the deck of gambling cards. But that holy name is so precious. You know, it's just, you say the name Jesus, and you say from your heart, it's a spiritual communion. You know, you're calling him. You know, it's sad. You know, they say, Jesus Christ Superscar gets in every movie because his name's always used and profanely used. But when you use it reverently, there's a closeness to Jesus, an intimacy, and he wants us to know his name. I think of Francis, you know, another one with the holy name of Jesus. With Francis, St. Francis, one time he was praying before the tabernacle and whispering his prayers, and someone said, go ahead and listen and see what kind of prayers a saint says. And they went and they saw Francis actually moistening his lips and just praying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. A real spiritual communion. You know, I remember being at with the Little Sisters of the Poor, and it was a little sister's mother who was dying, Connie Manzo. And she's like pretty much on her deathbed, and the sister came in and said, Mom, let's pray the rosary. And Connie said, too long. I have another prayer. What is it, Mom? Jesus. Jesus. And when she was dying, Ken, we're all around. And I'm looking at Connie. She's radiant. She's looking. It's like she's having an apparition. And she's saying the holy name. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. And she passed away with the holy name on her lips. And so many people would pass away with the holy name on their lips. Jesus and Mary. Jesus and Mary. But, yeah, it's just, you know, having that name and just giving that attention. The other thing, when you were saying how Bernadine went away for 12 years, you look at these saints that become founders and, you know, really leaders and charismatic preachers. You know, Francis went away, Patrick went away, they go into the desert, these monks go away, and they emerge with this presence of Jesus. It's like I no longer live I, but Christ lives in me. And even Paul, you know, went up in the mountains for, wow, gosh, so many years, 15 years, whatever, and comes back with this theology. And he never even really meant the apostles at the time, but he meant Jesus there on the mountaintop. And what you were talking about, Malvern, that maybe we can't go away for 40 days or 12 years, but we can get a weekend. Go and just leave the world for 40 hours and be with Jesus and Mary and Joseph and God the Father and be refreshed and renewed. And as you said, we'll come out of there better fathers, better mothers, better wives, better grandmothers, and better everything, you know, on the road towards holiness and sanctity. But that name Jesus, think about Gabriel, St. Gabriel, that he gives the name, you know, from God the Father. And through Joseph, too, you know, his name shall be Jesus, and gives us the definition what the name means, because he will forgive his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means. And a lot of times, Ken, and I'd like to share this later on the Otter God segment, with the holy name of Jesus, but often, you know, even when I go to sleep, sometimes I'm just listening to my heartbeat. It has two beeps, and it's the two syllables, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now, always remember in first grade, we were always told to bow our heads at the name of Jesus. I remember in the seminary when the seminarians had to wear berettas, the hats on top, berettas. And any time during the homily, when there was holy name was invoked, they had to pick up the beretta, twist it a little bit, and put it back down. And this one priest used the holy name like something like 54 times. And all you saw was the berettas flying up and down, up and down. But just bow the head a little bit at the holy name of Jesus. And whenever we're in trouble or difficulties, you know, just say, Jesus, you know, save me from this. From this temptation, Jesus, save me from this pain, this suffering. Jesus, save me, because that's what his holy name means. His name is Jesus, because he will save us from all our sins, from guilt, from shame. And when we're experiencing guilt and shame and the devil's bringing up our past, call on the holy name, Jesus, because he took care of everything. He took away our sins, our guilt, our shame. More than that, he destroyed our death. More than that, he gives us new life, abundant life, eternal life, now and forevermore.
Amen.
His name is Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins.
All right. We got a couple people that called in. They didn't want to wait till the break, so we're going to go to the phones. Hello, Frank.
Yes, afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, pal?
I almost said good morning. Father Doug.
Hey, Frank.
Yeah, the last two times I called in, I didn't know you wanted to say something more, and I apologize because I hung up before you were done, and I'm sorry. I heard Ken on the radio, so I think Frank hung up, but I did not do it intentionally. I was sorry about that. I won't do it again. I'm going to wait till I hear you say, Frank, hang up, okay?
So what's up, Frank?
No, nothing. I just want to apologize if I talk.
No problem.
And may I say something? The people out there who aren't sure if they got a problem or not a problem, pretend you got a problem. It won't hurt you to pretend you do. Just go to Mass every Sunday, as many dailies as possible, exercise and pray. Simple as that. And if today's your first day and your body's irritable, it happened to me many times, eat candy, drink soda. Alcohol's or sugar. Replace it with that, it won't be as bad. And like I said, I'm sorry about it. Oh, also, I forgot about you again. Captain Lou gave me a call, 401, reminded me. Thanks, Captain Lou.
All right, Frank. Always good to hear from you, pal. Glad you're well.
Have a good one.
Yep, you too.
Hey, Frank, don't hang up yet. Listen,
okay,
I was just saying that thank you to Captain Lou that reminded you to call in.
I know one of these days I'm going to remember. That part of my brain is still killed from all those decades of boozing, I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, we're grateful to Captain Lou.
I want to call him every day because I'm so grateful and thankful, and I love hearing his.
All right.
Yeah. And thank you for all your advice, too. You're really giving the right advice. Go to Mass. Say your prayers, you know. Exercise, you know.
Yeah,
enjoy,
releases endorphins and serotonin.
There you go.
Captain Lou taught me that.
Very good. All right, Frank, appreciate the call. Thanks,
pal. Have a
good
one. Thank you.
Yep, you
too.
Thanks,
Frank. You can hang up now.
And we're going to go to Michael. Hello, Michael.
Yes.
How you doing, brother?
Hey, this is Jingle's father.
Oh, Jingle.
Oh.
Yeah, what's up, fellas? How you doing today? You hit Father Doug and Ken.
Good, pal. How are you?
I'm not doing bad. I'm just calling in because I like the topic, Father. It's right where I'm at with my Catholic stuff about the sinning and trying to pray to St. John to keep me on the right track. You know what I'm saying?
Good.
And, like last night at the Calyx, I like what the topic was last night there, too, because you know, I had a chance to express my thing about, you know, about God, about how crucified it was, and, you know, it is what it is, but, you know, I was hoping I was on the right track here because I had watched the movie that that was about.
Very good. Always good to see you there, John. Appreciate it, pal.
Yeah, John, you know. Go ahead.
It's sort of become a habit with me now, Kenny. I'm starting to try to. It seems like the more I go there, the better my body feels for some reason, and things just seem to be right on track for me. Keeps me simple in the house and all. You know what I mean? My life seems to go good when I. Like you said, you follow God, man. God, but now, sure, if I got God in me, I can't see nothing bad happen. You know, everything should be all right.
Very good.
Hey, John. Yeah, it was good to hear you share last night, because you haven't shared for a while. But
you
have an energy
right,
in you. And especially when you're serving Mass, there's an energy. You know, and thank you for serving
that's
masses for us at the Calyx
when I came
Society.
There, I just want to say something.
You seem really happy and delighted when you serve, John.
You're
nervous when you serve?
Hey, hold on.
Last night was a good topic. Like I said, it was about the Lord, you know. When you had the gospel talking about the Lord, you know, it's pretty good because when you were talking about some things, and that helped me out a lot. See, them little things help you.
Beautiful.
Very good. All right, John, we're approaching the bottom of the hour. We're going to have to take a break, so appreciate the call. Thanks for calling. Do it again.
Yes, sir. It's my pleasure, man. Have
all
a
right.
good day.
Yep, you too.
Have a good day, Father.
Thanks, John. God bless.
Okay. So I'll talk to you.
All right. All right. We got about 2 minutes before we go to the break. Father, you got a final comment on St. Bernardine of Siena?
Just to pray the holy name, you know, we don't have to be praying long, long prayers at times, and we need to do that too. But sometimes just it's a restful prayer, Ken, and it's a spiritual communion with our Lord. And it's our Blessed Mother there that brings us right into His most sacred heart. And all is well when we're in that heart of His. So call on that name, Jesus, because He's right there with us always until the end of the world. It's just reminding ourselves that He's with us. So Jesus, mercy, Mary, help, in the words of Venerable Matt Talbot. Jesus, mercy, Mary, help. Amen.
Amen. I think we had that conversation last week, too, Father, about you know, the number of parishes that would have a Holy Name Society.
Oh, yeah.
And how that was like a direct pipeline to men making retreat weekends at Malvern. So I think as part of your rector duty there, maybe you start pumping up the idea of Holy Name Societies again, get the men back meeting once a month, and hopefully it translates them into to coming back to Malvern.
There you go, Ken. You know? Resurrect the Holy Name Societies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and the sodalities.
Yeah. All right. One of the things I've neglected to do, and I guess John and Frank had the numbers written down somewhere, or maybe one of our angels here was passing out the phone number, but we're going to take our break, and when we come back, we want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but in order to do that, we need your phone calls. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or if you need to call toll-free, you can do so at 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Mm-hmm.
experience God gives us, every person He puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only God can see. My name is Anne McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program, In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers in the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for He wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air. No doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston. Father Douglas McKay, and again, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your financial and prayerful support has kept us on the air for all these years and allows us to bring you great shows like today's. To give you an update on the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Now, we meet every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood. Father and I are there, our engineer Patrick and others. We gather in the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street at 6 o'clock p.m. Again, that's every Tuesday. We have a short adoration period followed by Mass and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday of the month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church at 6 o'clock where we have a holy hour with prayer, confessions, and benediction. Followed by Mass. We were blessed last week to have Father John Wackerman with us and Father Michael Shea from the Basilica Shrine of the Miraculous Medal has become a regular there on every Tuesday, not just the third Tuesday. So come on down and join us. The Unit of the Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be next Thursday, June the 1st. The Unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media meets on the second Saturday of the month. They go to the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass and the Calyx meeting after. Their next gathering will be on Saturday, June the 10th. The Unit at Glenside, my home parish, St. Luke the Evangelist, we get together on the third Saturday of the month. We just met this past Saturday, so we won't be getting together again until Saturday, June the 17th. We go to the 8:30 morning Mass on Saturday with a Calyx meeting after. And the Unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by their Calyx meeting, and they'll get together this coming Saturday, May the 27th. In nearby Wilmington, Delaware, they get together every Wednesday for 6:15 p.m. Mass at St. Matthew's, followed by a Calyx meeting. And my guest in the 5 o'clock hour today is going to be Daniel O'Connor. I've had Daniel on, I think, three times now. This will be the fourth. And we'll be talking most of the hour about the deception of artificial intelligence. It's the show you're not going to want to miss. All right. I'll get back to the Saints, and I'd say get to our Odd or God segment, but not a single phone call today, Father. I think everybody must be out enjoying the nice weather.
You know who I heard from, Ken, just to congratulate my 41st priestly anniversary, was Charlie. And I know he's listening, so it's been a long time since we heard from Charlie. It'd be a blessing for Charlie to call in.
Amen. You got an Odd or God you want to share?
Yeah, I do, Ken. And I shared it last night, and it was the dime story again. You know, finding dimes, it's always a reminder that the Lord has our back and his presence with us, and it's just the assurance that I am with you always. But it was what I was saying, how I like when I do my shopping in the Acme, and as I was going in, I'm putting my collar on, and I just hear the Lord say, "Be my light, just be my light," and go in. And often I go in there, people see the collar, they come up, they ask for a blessing, they'll ask for prayers. Sometimes they even take my bill, Ken. But this one time there was a man there, and he was really deranged. And he was in there before, and he would be really belligerent and hollering, screaming, cursing, profanity, profane words, vulgarities. And the last time, a couple months ago, I went up to him, I just, "What's your name?" And I think he said Joseph at the time. And I was able to calm him down. But this time, you know, I wind up behind him in the checkout list. And he's ramping and raving. And, gosh, he's really, like, he turned on me. And he sees the collar. And the profane words are coming at me. He's in my face. He's slobbering. He's spitting. All I could see is the devil's face, you know. And I'm just standing there, and people are looking. And the guard comes. But they know this guy, because it's best just to let him go on and try to stop him or restrain him, because then he goes berserk. So I just stood there like Jesus before Pilate there and opened up my mouth. And then he's looking at the collar. He says, "You priest, you think that holy water is going to save you?" You know, it just sounded like Satan. And I had holy water in my pocket. I was going to pull it out and put it on him and put my hands on him, you know, and just say a prayer over him, maybe an unofficial exorcism. But I didn't. I kept quiet. But, you know, I really felt that, you know, this guy can pull out a knife or gun or whatever. And I stood there, and all I said, and I said it to him, I whispered it, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And all of a sudden, he turns around, goes back. He's still ramping and raving, but I just said, "I'm going to change lines here." So I went over to the next line, and my brother was in the next line. And but there again, it was the holy name, the holy name of Jesus. It means save me from evil. Oh, and that was evil, you know. And I prayed for him. I prayed for this guy. I think his name's Joseph. And I asked everybody to pray for him. And my heart went out to him. I prayed for him last night. And I really felt there was some kind of diabolical, maybe not possession, but certainly obsession. It was really the devil. I could see the face of the devil. I could smell the sulfur. So I left, and I'm coming back here and taking out my shopping bags. And on the runner, the outside runner of the car, is a dime that Jesus was just telling me, "I'm with you always. I had your back. It was okay." So, again, it was just that holy name, Jesus, save us. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's always with us. All we have to do is to turn to him. Just call his name, and he's right there with us.
Amen. All right. Still no phone calls, so how about if we go on to St. Cristobal Magallanes? Mm-hmm. He was born on July the 30th in 1869 and died on May the 25th, 1927, I guess 96 years ago. And this was all part of the anti-Catholic government in Mexico at the time. There were a total of 25, I believe, that would that fall under this category of Cristobal Magallanes and companions. Probably the most well-known was Blessed Miguel Augustine Pro, and 24 companions would lose their lives because of their Catholic faith. He and other priests were forced to minister secretly during the presidency of Plutarco Kallias, and that would be from 1924 to 1928. Of the 25, all but three were diocesan priests. So, Father, the percentages aren't in your favor if it happens here.
Yeah, about that. 21 priests martyred.
Yeah, yeah. And the three laymen, David, Manuel, and Salvador, died with their parish priest, Louis Batiste, or Louis Batiste. And they all belonged to that Cristero movement. And Vivo Cristo Rey, we would hear, and pledged their allegiance to Christ and the end of the Catholic Church, and even though it meant losing their lives. So they didn't die as a single group. It was over the course of 22 years in 8 different Mexican states. And in 1992, they were beatified and then would be canonized 8 years later in the year 2000. So a bunch of Mexicans that were willing to lose their lives for their faith.
Yeah. You know, when he was dying, you know, lined up from his cell, he said, "I am innocent and I die innocent. I forgive with all my heart those responsible for my death. And I ask God that the shedding of my blood serve the peace of our divided Mexico." And then the Cristero slogan was, "Long live Christ the King and the Virgin of Guadalupe." Long live Christ the King and the Virgin of Guadalupe. But what touches me the most about this is really, it's the present moment that saints are in. You know, they're calm. You're not fearful of the future because you're in the present. All of our fears and worries are in the future, never in the present. And they're not in the past thinking about their sorry state, you know, all their past guilts and sins, because they believe that the Lord took care of all that. They honor Jesus by doing that. But while they were being lined up to be shot, there was a priest next to Christopher. And I like the name Christopher, too, by the way, the Christ bearer, you know, showing Jesus Christ. But next to Christopher, the priest became anxious. And so Christopher turns to him to comfort him. And he says this, quote, "Be calm, my son, only for a moment, and then on to heaven." There it is, only for the moment. It's God. He's only in the moment. God's all present. He's not past and he's not future. He's in the moment. He's with us every moment of our lives. "I will be with you always until the end of the time." So if we can just stop when we're up against it, and when trials and tribulations come, and we begin to look at the future and the worryment and all, just get into the moment, just for the moment, and then onward to heaven, because the moment really puts us right there into heaven. I was thinking, Ken, you know, this the moment, you know, how the saints live the present moment, and also special people, like people with Down syndrome. Boy, I get so much love out of them. They are uninhibited. They come up, they hug you. You know, they're so gentle. They seem to always be in the present moment. And I like to tell the story that when I went down to Wawa for a couple of days, I always would go into the Wawa. And Wawa, they hire special people, you know, like Down syndrome. And this Axel, he's there like every Thursday. And Axel's job is to take care of the coffee bar there, you know, where all the lids and the straws and the sugars. And one morning I went in there, and Axel's in there, and he has the plastic bag with the lids, with the coffee lids. And he's taken one out at a time from the plastic bag, and he's putting it on the shelf. And I'm having my caffeine fix, you know. I want to get my coffee and get out. And he's looking at me, and he's smiling. He's just taking one at a time, looks at me and smiling. I'm watching him there. And all of a sudden, it just hits me that this, Axel's his name, he's in the present moment. And he put me in the present moment with him. In the beginning, I wanted to take the plastic bag, pull it off, and take the whole row of lids and just pop them in the shelf and show them how to do it. And then no, this guy was in the present moment. I left there in the present moment of God. I was in the moment, holding the doors, letting people ahead of me in traffic, you know, waving to people. He just brought me right into the present moment. And that's where the martyrs are, the saints are, and that's where these special children are, and the ones that we want to abort. they're the ones that really show us the kingdom of God. And there's just one other story I wanted to tell, Ken, about the present moment. You know, the Special Olympics some time ago, and have all the Down syndromes lining up, the special children. And, you know, it's a stadium filled with people. And they're lining up, and they have their sweatbands on their shorts, and they're doing their little stretching, and they're getting in their lanes, the eight lanes there, and they're waiting for the gun, and the gun goes off, and they start for the finish line, the 100-yard dash. And just about 20 yards out, a little boy falls down, and he cries out, "I'm hurt, I'm hurt." All seven stop, and they turn around, and they circle the one that fell, and it was a girl with the guys mixed, and the little girl bends over and kisses the one who fell down on the head, and she said, "There, that'll help." And they all get up, and all eight of them walk side by side in the cheers of the stadium, finishing together. There it is, Ken. They're not concerned about first place in this world, about accolades and awards, you know, what we give our hearts to. You know, they're living in the kingdom of God. They already have the awards. They got God himself, you know. They're so precious to us. They reflect the kingdom of God as they live that present moment. And so that's what Christopher teaches us today, when in that moment of death, even that moment of death, he's calm. And he calms down the one next to him, the priest next to him. "Be calm, my son, only for a moment, and then onward to heaven, to live in the moment." It's not that we don't always live in the moment, but all we have to do is call Jesus, his holy name, and we're right back again in the moment. And the graces flood us, and all is well. It's like we're shielded from all evil because we're with him, and we're in the kingdom of God. So I just end with this little poem, you know, about letting go and letting God. We mutter, we sputter, we fume and we spurt. We mumble and grumble, our feelings get hurt. We don't understand things, our vision grows dim, while all that we really need is a moment with him. A moment with him puts us in the kingdom of God, in the peace and the joy and the love of God. Call on Jesus. He's present to us. Always and everywhere, I am with you always until the end of time. Call that name, be present to him, and we're already in the kingdom of God. All is calm, and all is very well, Ken.
Amen. And, you know, you're talking about, you know, people that have, you know, different handicaps or disabilities and what have you. And, you know, my wife Susan took a job a couple of months ago with the Brothers of Charity and cooking for five brothers and eight of the residents that are there, and they have various degrees of difficulties. But you know, like Wawa, some of these stores, Acme, Giant, they all, seven out of the eight residents all go out to work, and you know, they come back, and Sue says all the time how, you know, she's never been around a group of happier people between the five brothers and the eight residents. They just don't have all the worry, anxiety, and fears that we walk around with. They don't have the attachments and what have you that we all struggle with. And I've had multiple conversations with people over the last 2 weeks. We got a dumpster delivered to the house Friday. It'll be 2 weeks ago on Friday. And just how much junk has ended up in that dumpster. And, you know, the two older kids came back, and even stuff that they had accumulated before they moved out, they wanted very little of it. And I mentioned it to Maureen earlier today when I got here that, you know, I think it's only in this country where you drive down the road and you see all these storage places. You know, we got so much stuff we can't even fit it in our house. We got to go and rent extra storage space to hold our stuff. And then I just know people, I used to watch it. I don't watch it anymore. I think it was called Storage Wars, where people just abandon the stuff that's in those storage lockers, and then they auction it off, and, you know, people try to pick stuff up on a deal and probably resell it. But bottom line is we just have so much stuff. And I think the example, you know, you're using with the Special Olympics and the, you know, what I hear and talking to Sue when she comes home from work, it's, you know, if the folks that they're not worried about accumulating stuff and what have you, and as a result, they lead much simpler, much happier lives. And like you said, I think we can learn an awful lot from them.
Yeah. You see all the saints, they have very little.
Yep.
And they had no fear of losing anything because they didn't really have much. You know, get rid of the stuff, you know, the fluff. I always say, get rid of the superfluities of this world for the superfluities of heaven. So think of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Ken, when they opened the house, she went in. And the first thing they did, they tore up the rugs, threw them out the window. She would look at the furniture, useful but not necessary, out, you know. And when you start to, if you, people listening, you go into your closets, into your house, and you start getting rid of all the junk that you never even use, give to somebody that may be able to use it or throw it out. It's like it's liberating. You're being free because it's clutter, and it gets in the way of the kingdom of God, and it distracts me, and, you know, it collects dust, and, you know, tired of looking at junk, you know, and it's like I'm free from the material thing, you know. And, you know, it's great to have things, you know, to have things that, you know, whatever we have, it's for the honor and glory of God. You know, we need things. And you know, I can live a life of a deeper simplicity because I'm not married and I don't have children. I thank God for that. I thank God for my vocation. It's almost like everybody's my children. I'm Father Douglas Michael McKay. But I'm kind of free from so much stuff. And it's like, it's so beautiful. But we can get cluttered with so many things. But if it's useful, use it for the honor and glory of God. It's like, you know, we need computers. You need pens. You need papers. You need a desk. You know, you need all these things. But what's it for? You know, spread the kingdom. You know, promote the gospel, Jesus Christ. You know, proclaim the kingdom of God at hand. And repent from all these things. Turn away from them. Be faithful to the gospel. Less is best. Mother Teresa, she really had it right. She didn't have much of this world, but boy, she had so much of his world.
Yeah, and you know, how many saints have we talked about over the years that came from well-to-do families that, you know, either turned their back on their money or would give all their wealth either to some charity or perhaps to the whatever order that they would join. And you know, it makes you wonder if they saw, you know, what that wealth had done for their, you know, parents and grandparents, and you know, and made it easier for them to make a decision that that it was corrupting, and that it you know, not holding on to it was actually a better thing in their own lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if you can see it, and you can smell it, and you can taste it, and hear it, it's not that important because they're all passing. It's all corrupting. Even our bodies will go back to ashes and ashes, dust to dust. But it's what we don't sense with the five senses. It's what we sense with our hearts. And I'm talking about peace, joy, felt love, these virtues of Christ. They're eternal. That's what makes us happy. Things don't make us happy. You know, we often talk about the people in Hollywood that they got more things and more pleasures and sex and drugs, and they're miserable and spending their time going to their friends' funerals. And you look at these saints like Mother Teresa, Francis, Bernadine, they have very little of this world, but they were happy. They were joyful. They had that complete joy that Jesus was talking about that we read today, Ken, in our contemplative prayer group, you know. The first reading, the gospel reading, was that to give us complete joy. And here it is right here, complete joy. The martyrs, they got complete joy. They are just ecstatically joyful. They know who they are. They've already died a mystical death. So they're, you know, they're looking to see his face at this point and to go home. But they got complete joy. And the world doesn't give us complete joy. The kingdom of God in Jesus Christ gives us complete joy. It's his peace, his joy, and his love that makes my heart overflow with his glory, with his joy, Ken.
Very good. We got just about 5 minutes left, Father. Do you want to try and squeeze in a little bit of St. Rita?
Okay.
St. Rita was born in the year 1381, and she would die on May the 22nd in the year 1457. She was a wife, a mother, a widow, and a member of a religious community. And a very holy woman. We're blessed here in Philadelphia to have the Shrine to St. Rita of Cascia there on South Broad Street. Multiple masses a day available, and they just had celebrated her feast day on May 22nd. They had a novena 9 days leading up to the celebration on Monday. And I know our friend and engineer here, Patrick, brought us back a half a dozen roses. And I didn't realize that roses were her thing, so that was pretty cool. Anyway, she was born in Roccaparina in Italy, and wanted to become a nun as a young girl, but like a lot of the other saints we've talked about, her family had other plans for her. She would get married, and in that 18-year marriage, she would have two sons. Her husband was killed in a fight, and then her two sons died after that. She tried to get into the Augustinian nuns in Cascia, but was not able to get in the first time around because she was a widow. But eventually the Augustinians would let her in. She also developed wounds on her forehead, and people would associate those wounds from Christ's own crown of thorns. And, you know, how many times have we talked about the saints that have had a devotion to Christ's passion? And probably hers was so great that he allowed her to experience that crowning of thorns. She would care for the sick nuns, and she would counsel lay people that came to us. I still have hope for Matt Talbot after reading about her father. She was beatified in 1626, and it took 274 years for her to get canonized in 1900. So we can still hold out hope for Matt Talbot. And like St. Jude, she's a saint of impossible causes, St. Rita of Cascia, whose feast day we celebrated this past Monday.
Yeah. You know, gosh, Ken, the desperate cases, the impossible cases, and always God's will. You know, her husband was murdered. He had his conversion. The two sons wanted to avenge the father's murder, and she prayed, before that would happen, take my children, rather than have commit murder. St. Dominic Savio, sin, death, but not sin. Always God's will there. But as you said, Ken, she was so faithful always to the passion of Jesus. And it was when she was praying before the crucifix that a thorn came out and went right into her forehead. And, you know, you would think this is a great gift and all, but it was painful. Mm. And it had a stench to it. And she had to be a recluse because of the smell. But it came to the canonization for St. Bernardine. And she asked God to take away the smell and the thorn and make it more inner than outer. And the Lord took it, and she was able to go to Rome and be at the canonization of St. Bernardine. But when she came back, that smell and stench came back again, and she was secluded once again. And, of course, when she was dying, she used to have a penance to water this dead, barren vine. And someone, you know, when she was dying, she has to go get roses and figs. And here, off-season, there were figs and roses as a sign of her of her closeness, her intimacy with Jesus Christ. You know, but saints, gosh, we'd be lost without them, Ken. They inspire us. And I think of Mount Talbot, you know, an inner city mystic. If I can do it, you can do it by the grace of God. It's always by the grace of God. And it's by His grace that I can be perfect in Him, that I can be holy in Him. It's in His grace that I can become a saint because He asks me to do it. And because He asks me to do it, He will give me all the means. And we have all the means in our church. Same Eucharist, same Blessed Mother, same Rosary, same devotion, same confessional, same saints, even more saints than the saints had. We got it. We got all the tools. So if we don't become holy and saints like the saints we're talking about, blame no one but ourselves, Ken.
Well, we need a blessing in order to get us started, Father. So can we get a quick blessing?
Yeah. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, bless us all and keep us close to Your most sacred heart through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Lord, we thank You for always being with us, and help us to be aware that You are always indeed with us, and bless us all. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Ken. All right. God bless you and everyone.
You too, Father. Thanks so much. Our guest, Daniel O'Connor, is already on the line. We'll be back shortly.